It is a great day to be alive, and it is a great day to be in our Father's kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's always so much happening in the world. The enemy is busy. I don't know if you guys know that.
Oh, yep.
He's always busy.
Yes, he is.
Persistent. He's God's antagonism. Antagonism, I should say, is right, and ours, too. It's great to see everybody here this morning. Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, you're awesome. Amen. It's great. it's great to have the Rankins back, Todd and
yes,
Delicia with us.
Amen. Yeah.
It's great to see both of them here this morning.
Yay.
Now, I have to say, I wasn't sure if that was my Todd that came back, but that's a handsome looking fella back there.
Oh.
Clean cut, everything up. I said, oh, man, hold on. Wait a minute now. Went to California and came back a different man. But it's great to have him back. Looking sharp, him and both his beautiful bride. It's great to have him here. And so encouraging, guys, to be here. You can turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4. So the year we're talking about building. And in the month of January, we're talking about building with confidence. And so, you know, how do you build with confidence? It is done with obedience.
Amen.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience, obedience, obedience. That is something I think that all of us wrestle with in our lives. Just wrestling to obey. But you know, I found out that if you stay with wrestling with obedience for the purpose of that, I'm going to get this right and I'm going to learn to obey God, it can become much easier as you get older.
Yes.
You'll have your bumps here and there. You'll have your moments here and there. But it can be if you fight to do it God's way. You know, we have heard messages about obey, about being obedient. There will continue to be messages on obedience as long as you're living. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Because our God knows us. He knows our heart. He knows that we can drift away from the truth and become disillusioned.
Yep.
We just can't. You know, I was sitting with, spending some time with Parker yesterday, and I love spending time, with Parker or Chris or any of the young men, Tevin them, but Parker, I was telling Parker, you know, it's great hanging out, and it's a great encouraging, and I always tell Parker, it's just great, really, you know, just sitting and learning some things from him, and he's always shocked, like, what can you possibly learn from me? You know, I'm like, you'd be surprised, I can learn a lot of things, but, you know, humility.
Yeah.
Humility is a key part of being obedient to God. And you have to know that God loves you so much that he has put structure in our lives here on earth so that we don't become disillusioned, so we don't fall away, so that we don't get off into, as I learned from Parker, my truth.
Mm-hmm.
That stuck with me. I was thinking of that, my truth. And that's true. That's something we all battle with. My truth.
Yep.
You know, but God says it's not about your truth. It's about what's true.
Mm.
And what God says is just true. But you won't know it if you're not in your Bible. And you won't know it unless you're willing to accept what God says is true. You know, this is why God is repetitive about living an obedient life. God just reminds us over and over and over the importance of living an obedient life. Because if you live an obedient life, then you are able to stay on the narrow road.
Mm-hmm.
But if you struggle with obeying God, that's a hard road for you to walk. So, how do you do that? How do you keep the things of God in your heart, mind, and soul? How do you build in confidence a life that represents obedience? You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God has brought the Israelites out of Egypt. They've been at the bottom of Mount Horeb where God wanted to engage with them. And so now they're setting up life out there on the plains. And God said, we got to give you some structure. We've got to give you kind of some to help shape how you're going to live your life and the things that's going to make you successful in the land. And one of the things that God addresses over in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, he addresses one of the key ways to really stand in obedience with God. And he does it because before that particular verse, he talks about how things are going to happen with them, how they're going to kind of stray away, their children are going to stray. And kind of after you're out there kind of doing your own thing, you're going to come back and realize, I need to be fully invested and bought into the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 29, chapter 4, verse 29, he says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. And if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, the key to really building confidence through obedience is seeking God with your all. You've got to go all in. You can't go partially. You can't go 25%. Can't go 3/4. You've got to be all in to what God is doing. Finding the Lord requires your everything. Are you giving your all to God in every areas of your life? You know, we can become distracted and get off track, which leads to a life outside of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
When you're outside of God's will, this leads to disobedience. There's all kind of confusion, chaos, hurt, pain. It just leads to areas where there's no potential way to heal. You know, you build with confidence through obedience through repetitive practices. The first one is prayer. Are you constantly in prayer? Are you constantly in prayer even when God's not answering right away?
Mm.
Because it's easy to say, you know what? Yeah, I pray. I'm not getting no answer. Is there anybody on the other end? Lord, are you there? That's how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Are you constantly talking with God about the issues going on in your life? The issues that are happening around you, the issues that affect you on a daily basis. Are you constantly talking with God? Number two is submit. Oh, we struggle with submitting. Why I always got to be the one who got to submit?
Mm-hmm.
Why I always got to be the one who got to submit my will to God's will? Why can't God submit to me? I remember hearing that in a study one time. And somebody pointed out that with God, it's selfish.
Wow.
You never think you're going to hear a lot of things, but you somebody always shocked you like, man, somebody actually thinks that. But they were like, well, God is selfish. I'm like, whoa, that's different. That's new. That's new.
Okay.
It's kind of like the other day I was sitting in a co-worker's office. And for those of us working in the corporate world or in any business, and you talk to someone, and then you hang up the phone, and then you realize, I got to call them back and talk to them. And you call them back, and they're not picking up the phone. And that can bother you like, I just talked to them. So I'm sitting in her office, and she's just going on. She's like, she hangs the phone up, and she turns around, and she says, I swear, cheese and crackers. I'm like, what? She says, I swear, cheese and crackers. Where do you get that from? But it's the thing she said her mom would do to keep from cussing. Her mom was trying to change her life. So instead of saying that, she said cheese and crackers.
Right.
Of course, being the person that I am, I'm thinking like, well, what kind of crackers and cheese are we talking about? That's just me. you know, that's me. I'm like, what are we talking about? You know. But you know, I think about that analogy with her. And a person, when you're trying to change, you got to learn to submit to God's will. You have to submit. If you're going to build and confidence, obedience is required, and it requires you to submit. You know, number three is you got to wrestle. Oh, you got to wrestle with God. Some things you're not going to wrestle with God on, but some other things, God, we're going to have to wrestle on this.
Hmm.
As if you're like going to win this, I just don't know, but you know, you have to wrestle with God to get to a place of peace, to get to a place of understanding. To get to a place that, okay, God, you were right all along, and I just had to wrestle through my feelings, through my thoughts, through my emotions. I had to wrestle to get on board and in line with God. You know, and finally, you have to do. You just have to do the things that God is calling you to do. You know, obedience begins with seeking God with your all. Have you been doing that? Have you been seeking God with your all?
Mm-hmm.
He never said you could take a day off. Although we like to take a day off, but God never said that. Every day you have to wrestle with God. Every day you have to seek God with your all in order to be successful in the area of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 9, not Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. So we're talking about, you know, in order to be great in building of confidence through obedience, you know you got to seek God with your all. But over in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, he says, only be careful to watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. We can be forgetful people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what age you are, you can. Now, some things you can be great at memorizing, and sometimes you can have a mind that's like a steel trap, but we can be forgetful people. God saw this in the nation of Israel as they're going into the land. He's like, man, you know, things are getting good. Things are leveling out. Everything's comfortable. Life seems to be going great, going good. And all of a sudden, we can forget what it took to get there. We can forget the influence that was in our life to help us get there. We can forget the one who made it possible for us to get to this happy place. But God warns them. He says, only be careful. And he didn't say, watch everybody else. He says, watch yourself closely.
Yeah.
He said, watch yourself closely. We're so used to hearing about, oh, watch out for this person, that person. But God said, no, watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. You know, when you lose the passion for something, it will fade away from your heart. It just will. The Lord says, watch yourself carefully. Here's a question. Are you paying attention to you and your daily habits? Are you really paying attention to you and your daily habits on a daily basis? Are you aware of your thoughts and your actions on a daily basis? You are human. You do think. The mind is constantly going on something. Also, what are you feeding your soul the most? You know, I read an article recently, and while I'm doing that, you guys can turn over to, keep your place in Deuteronomy, we'll be back in Deuteronomy, but turn over to 1 John. I read an article, and you know, I read a lot of things, and you know, things can bother you, depending on how you receive, how you accept it. And I read an article about a Christian saying that they feel like that the church is keeping them from the world.
Wow.
And I thought, well, you know, we live in the world, but God has called us not to be of the world.
Right.
And I thought, he said the church is keeping you from the world. Now here, we do believe in, and I preach it constantly, and I remind everybody this is a repetitive thing I touch about. You need to know your Bible.
That's right.
Okay.
You need to know your Bible. Because there's always things going on. And over in 1 John, and I read that article, this scripture came to mind. And to me, it is just God reminding me as a warning. Because things will happen. Over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Mm-hmm. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires, guess what happens to it? It passes away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever.
Yep.
What are you feeding your soul the most? It's hard to believe, but yet it's not hard to believe. But there are people who have pledged their life to God, and somewhere along the way, things have happened to them so catastrophic that they say, you know what? I feel like you've been keeping me away from the world. You and I see the news, and if you don't see the news, you hear the news. And I don't see anything in the world worth fighting for to attain and say, this is better than being in the kingdom of God. I just don't. Now, you can look for yourself and see, when I ride home today, is it much better being in this world than being in the kingdom of God? You have to ask yourself that. You know, when you start thinking that the world is a better place than the kingdom of God, it's because you are no longer watching yourself very closely. It's because you are no longer being careful to keep a close eye on yourself. And it is because you have forgotten God and His Word and the sacrifice that has been made for you. And His truths have slowly begun to fade away from your heart. What are you feeding your soul the most? Is it the world or is it the kingdom of God? God and His Word fade away when we are not all in for God.
Yep.
You got to be sold out for the kingdom of God. You got to be sold out for God Himself. You've got to be sold out for God's Word. If you know your Bible, obedience will come easily. If you know your Bible, no matter what troubles and stuff come your way, you will not be removed. Finally, Deuteronomy 6:14. And, you know, Deuteronomy is a book. We sit down, this has been my quiet time for a while. It's just so rich in seeing God build up the nation of Israel in this new land. And He's putting all these things in place to help them be so successful in their lives. And I thought, man, how grateful or how awesome it is that a God is pouring out Himself to make sure that you are successful in this life. But a lot of times we don't take advantage of that. We just don't. And we don't appreciate it. But over in Deuteronomy 6, verse 33, and this is after God had given the Ten Commandments. Verse 33, He says, actually, I thought in verse 32, Deuteronomy 6, verse 30, He says, so be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you, and do not turn aside to the right or to the left. I'm sorry.
Chapter 5.
You know, there's an old joke one time a person told there's a Mark chapter 17 in the Bible, but it don't exist. A preacher did that intentionally to see what people paying attention. I remember that. And people like, yeah, and people like, yeah, yeah, they were agreeing, yeah, yeah, yeah. But some of them was like, you like, wait a minute, that don't exist. But the preacher has done that before. To see what you pay attention.
Is that what you're doing, Sydney?
No, I'm not. Actually, I was on kidding. No, I'm not doing that.
All right.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, guys. Deuteronomy chapter 5. 32. Thank you, Scott. Here we go. It says, so be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. You know, God has your best interest at heart. He just does. And He wants the best for you and I. He just does. But a lot of voices can get in our ears from out there in the world.
Sure.
A lot of voices. You know, I was seeing a little video clip, and you know, up north, and what's called, what is it, the Mall of America?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You cannot wear anything in there that promotes God.
Whoa.
Yeah, you cannot wear it in that mall. You'll be put out.
Whoa.
Yes, security will have you out that door.
Oh, my God.
You cannot wear anything that promotes any type of God, any Jesus on. You can be on a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. No, sir, can't do it. Mm-hmm. That's in the Mall of America.
Well, that's
I said, well, well, you know.
Nope.
Some people be okay with that. Mm-hmm. Some people let me have to pray because I'm like, I'm just tempted to put one of my hats on and walk up in there. That's just Sydney. Behave. Behave. But you know, you have to say, and the security guard was telling the young guy, he says, this is private property. Yeah, just like Kroger, Walmart, all this private property. We think they're public domains, but they're actually private property.
Yep.
So they have the right to change things if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
That's something hard to swallow. That's something hard to swallow. We think like, this is America. You can't do that, democracy. But America, as much as it fights for our individual rights, it fights for those in the commercial industry and private property. If it's not a government entity, private property. As in the government entity right now, you're seeing, guess what? TikTok's are banned from any state phones, anything electronic, because it's owned by the government. Yep. You can't have that TikTok stuff in your phone if you work for the government. If it's a, put it away, if it's a government-issued phone, you can't have it on there. Totally different. But Kroger, Walmart, all these other places, they're not owned by the government, so they can, at any time, change certain things because it's private property. Now, you can say, I'm not going to go shop there no more and
right.
buy groceries, but your stomach and you're going to be wrestling for a while. You're going to have some issues.
Yep.
You both gonna have to come at a meeting here real quick, and you got to go shop somewhere else. But you have to pray about issues like that. You're like, okay, we got to pray about issues like that. It may not be right, but you got to pray about issues like that. You know, God wants us to walk in obedience, and God said one of the great benefits of walking in obedience is that He wants your days to be long. He wants you to prosper, and He didn't say I want you to prosper by money, although He doesn't count money out. But He wants you to prosper in every way in life.
Right.
From your mental state to your emotional state, to your feelings, to your friendship, to your relationships. He wants you to prosper in all these areas. Because I'm here to tell you, you can be a billionaire and be the saddest person in the world.
Yep.
There's old rap song, Biggie Smalls, to say, more money, more problems. Mm-hmm. It's so true. Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from having money, but I'm trying to discourage you from loving money.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
God is not even trying to discourage you from having more money, just trying to discourage you from loving money.
Yep.
That's it. God wants you to have a great life while you're here. But He said that life is only going to be great if you're walking in obedience.
That's right.
If you're walking outside of obedience, well, it's going to be problems.
Yes.
You know, how is your days? Who are you walking with? That's key. The people you're walking with tend to have a great amount of influence on you. Why are you walking with them? What's the purpose? What is the benefit in who you walk with? That's what you should always ask yourself. Discipling relationships are a great thing.
Yep.
As long as we don't abuse them with one another. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you, I love you. Love to be your discipling partner, walking with you, helping you to grow in God. But I am not your boss. I don't want to control you. I don't want to own you. I have a hard time enough of keeping a close eye on me, as God said I need to do. But I want to see the best for you. Walking in obedience requires commitment through, when you're dealing, I should say, walking with obedience requires commitment when you're dealing with trials and troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will come. Man, who wants trials and trouble? When you're dealing with disappointments and let down, it has happened and it will happen. When you're dealing with betrayal and backstabbing, hope you don't have to deal with that at all, or never had to deal with that. When you're dealing with difficulties and hard times, attacks and persecution, even when life is good, commitment is required if you expect to walk in obedience. You know, without obedience, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to close out with Luke 13. Building with confidence requires that you build it through obedience. And in order to build through obedience, you and I, we have to make every effort. Luke chapter 13. So ask yourself, have you been putting forward your best foot every day? You know we get tired. Ugh. We get mentally tired, get emotionally tired, just want to be left alone. For some of you, just me and my coffee, we good. Whatever it is for you, you're just like, just tired. But you can't get tired on this walk. You got to stay faithful. You got to stay committed. You got to believe that God is true. But to walk in obedience, you've got to stay on the narrow road. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. It says, "Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?'" That is a valid question. That is a valid question. That question can be asked today. Only a few people going to be saved. Jesus' response: make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, he says, they will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he replied, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." Why is it so important to walk in obedience? Because I want to be known by God. Those who obey God, God knows you. Those who obey God, God say, "You're living in my will." A lot of people come in churches, church building. A lot of people go to various groups, but not everybody is seeking God with their all. Not everybody is buying in to what God is telling them. But yet in the very end, they are expecting to be accepted into the kingdom. They are expecting to be accepted and to be allowed to get in to heaven. But Jesus gives an example and says, it don't work like that. Now humans, we can kind of be like, you know, come on, cut a break, cut a curve, let them in. But Jesus said, it don't work like that. He says, you got to get your act together now. You got to get in line with God's will. You got to embrace God's obedience for your life. It's going to require you to pray, submit, wrestle, and do. You got to get there. Nobody wants to hear the word, "I don't know you. Get away from me, you evildoer." Nobody wants to say, "Well, I'm not evil." Nobody wants to hear those words. But instead, we want to hear the words where God says, "Job well done, good and faithful servant." Then the words you want to hear. But the only way you're going to hear those words is if you begin to practice being obedient to God. You know, we have a choice to make today and tomorrow and the day after. And as God said, for as long as you live, because he wants to prolong your days. You have to decide who you're going to walk with. Are you going to walk with God and the people in this kingdom? Or are you going to walk with the world and the people in the kingdom of the world? Are you going to submit to God, or are you going to submit to the world? What are you going to do? What will you do? Who will be the people that you are hanging out with? What's going to be your circle? You know, guys, in closing, I've been on a study on Mary outside the kingdom. I don't know if you ever read the book of Ezra. It's a great book. It's actually about dating. And over at Nehemiah 13:26, as I'm closing, you ain't got to turn there, but you can write it down, 13:26. One of the things it warns about, it uses Solomon as an example about not marrying outside of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. It says because when Solomon did that, the influences of those women and their foreign gods corrupted him.
Yeah.
Tainted his thinking process.
Yep.
Dating, who you date is so important. But who you walk with is so important.
Yep.
Make every effort to walk with God. Make every effort to walk with those in the kingdom of God. And how will you know that they're in the kingdom of God? Is that their life will reflect their obedience. It's because that they know their Bible and they apply it to their life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much.